May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see, but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. 671.
Thank you. This evening I wish to read from two portions of God's holy word. Firstly, the prophet Isaiah and chapter 58. Isaiah 58. If you have one of the free Bibles from outside the chapel here, that's page 696. Isaiah chapter 58. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, they take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labours. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honourable, and shalt honour him not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now let us read just a few verses, the Gospel according to Matthew, and chapter 11. The Gospel according to Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. And we just read from verse 28 to the end, just three verses, Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and help us in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we seek grace to bow before thy throne. Lord, we are sinners, and to approach thee we need that warrant from thee. And thou hast given us the throne of grace. Thou hast taught that men ought always to pray and not to faint, and that thou hast bid us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thou hast also given us the comparison of those of us that are fathers, who know how to give good gifts unto their children. Lord, thou hast said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And O Lord, we do seek thy Spirit's aid and help and blessing this evening. We desire that we might be like the Thessalonian church, to whom the word came not in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. O Lord, we do seek those blessings that come from heaven through the word. O Lord, do cause that we might hear not only the word, but what the Spirit saith unto this church. O Lord, do grant us that we might be thy messenger in thy message this evening. Lord, for thou knowest what thy people need and what they have petitioned thee for. We do seek thy blessing upon the church and congregation here at Swavesey. We pray thy blessing upon their deacons to uphold, strengthen, and be with them in their individual paths and in the responsibilities that they have here in the Church of God. Give them strength and wisdom and grace for the office that they hold, and leave not their own souls destitute, but that that which they do, they may do with the blessing and love of God in their souls. And thou do bless each of the church and the congregation, especially those that are exercised and burdened in their souls, those that may already be a help and a strength, an encouragement to the church here. O Lord, may they feel constrained, may they hear thy word, why standest thou without, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. O Lord, do grant that those who love the habitation of thy house, love thy people, love thee, the desire to serve and do care for and pray for the church of God, that they might not remain without, but sweetly constrained to come in. O Lord, we do pray thy blessing on each gathered here this evening. Remember those that are at home with the younger children. Be with those that are away on holiday at this time. Watch over them and give them a time of rest and change and bring them in peace and safety back at the appointed time. We commit them unto thee. And Lord, we do pray for each one in their path. We do think of John and Corin, and do grant that help in the move that they have, and do grant thy sweet blessing in the new home. Lord, we have proved and known what that is to have thy blessing in a place and to realize it and know for the first time. And O Lord, may each of the homes that are represented here be places where the rooms of those homes can be remembered, the blessings that thou hast given in them. And may this house of prayer also be known and remembered as the place where thou wast pleased to come and bless their souls. O Lord, we do pray that thou hast be with us in our going out, our coming in, our down-sitting, our uprising, in thy house and in our homes, and by the way. O Lord, do remember then those that are away for rest and change, and do help and bless them where they are. We do pray that thou hast be with those in bereavement at this time, to comfort them and help them. We do seek also those that have COVID and are unwell, to grant thy kind healing hand and watch over those that are vulnerable, keep them safe. And those that are ill with other illnesses as well, we would not forget that COVID is not the only illness that is upon us, but many, many afflictions belong to us because of sin and because of death. And O Lord, do make them work for good, and do grant grace and help through those times. We do see thy blessing on thy word that goes forth from this place, the Bibles that are taken from outside the chapel, to make them a blessing to everyone who has received them. And Lord, may thou reveal thyself to them through thy word. O Lord, and may they be brought to love thy word and desire to come and hear it preached here in the house of God. And we know our dear friends here would love to see those come and join with them that have a desire for thy salvation, a desire to learn and hear thy word. And so, Lord, we do seek thy blessing on each copy of thy word that has gone forth here. And, O Lord, those that have received it in the schools as well. And this year, when we have the Jubilee and the special edition sent forth, Lord, do bless the word wherever it has gone forth. We do pray, Lord, that those who are in trouble at this time, whether it is financially in the nation, or whether it is through affliction, or whether it is in the war in Ukraine and the effects of that, that those troubles and trials might work for good, and that those concerns that we have might be used to bring us to thee, to open our ear to thy word, to be receptive to the gospel, to be ready to hear the way of salvation. We might also hear the danger that we are in outside of Christ. Lord, we thank thee that thou art the way, the truth and the life, that there is a remedy, is a way of escape from the wrath to come. There is salvation and that it is found in Thee alone, Lord Jesus. We do seek that grace and help to set forth Thy word this evening. Guide our tongue, and do be pleased to guide Thy word into the hearts of each one that hear it. We do seek Thy blessing upon our dear age friends. Lord, we each grow older, and Lord, may those years, as they increase with their infirmities, be years with Thy blessing in our souls. Remember those in the Bethesda and Pilgrim homes, and grant, Lord, Thy blessing upon their eventide of their lives. We pray for the children. We thank Thee for the young people here. And we seek Thy blessing upon them. Do work in their hearts while they are young, and do grant them Ruth's portion, to cleave to the people of God, to cleave in love, to cleave to Thee, to be found a gleaner, to be found one that beats out what is gleaned, to be found at last united to our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we do pray for that rising generation, that they might be well grounded in the truth. O shine upon our churches, shine upon this dark, benighted land, and O Lord, pour out Thy Spirit again, that there might be that evidence of Thy Spirit's work in the churches, in our hearts, in those round about, in our towns. We pray for the people of Swavesey, that Thou hast blessed them and work in this place. And may this house of prayer be filled with hungering and thirsting souls. May it be filled with souls that are filled with the blessing of the Lord, and to show forth Thy praise and the works of Him who hath called them out of nature's darkness and into Thy marvellous light. We seek for grace to worship Thee aright. Deliver us from every wrong way, from deceiving ourselves. Make us practical Christians. Make us those in whom Thy grace shines. And give us a love to men and the souls of men. Make us more and more like our Lord, united to Thee, and to learn of Thee who are meek and lowly in heart. O Lord, remember all who are burdened and troubled and afflicted tonight, and to be pleased to grant that blessing of rest through a Saviour, a dear Redeemer. Help us to cast our burdens upon Him, and Lord, may we know that liberty and freedom that Thy blessing gives. O Lord, do grant us those blessings, that joy and that love of God shed abroad in the heart, and freedom from sin and Satan's chains, the law of God as a condemning law and as a hard taskmaster. But Lord, do grant us that sweet, blessed gospel liberty and sweet obedience from love. Do forgive our many sins, bless us with real repentance and godly sorrow, set free those that are snared, those that are troubled with their besetting sins. Help us daily to fight the good fight of faith, and do be pleased to help us to run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Leave us not to lose sight of that heavenly land. Eternity with all its years stands present in Thy view. Do grant, Lord, that we oft might think upon a future habitation, to meditate upon that time when we shall know even as we are known, when we shall see Thee face to face. Lord, do grant unto us those real views and real apprehension, though we see through a glass darkly of what is before us. May we oft think of a future habitation oft meditate upon it. Deliver us from empty vanity and imagined things, and do grant us reality. May our lives here be real. May our hope be real. May our expectation be real. And do bring us at last, as those around us, one by one, we see them being brought down and cross the river of death, to grant that we might be prepared for that time and even embrace it, look forward to it, and be brought to a desired haven. So now help us, bless the hymns that we sing. May we sing with the heart and the understanding also. And oh, do help now in preaching thy word. We ask through thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 1089. Sold under sin was Paul's complaint. He felt its galling load, though he by calling was a saint and rightly taught of God. Hymn 1089.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Isaiah 58. Read for our text verse 6 and 7. The word especially upon my spirit is the first part, the question in verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? The verses go on to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Isaiah 58, verses 6 and 7. We have in verse 3 a people that is complaining to God that they are fasting and they're afflicting their souls, and yet God does not seem to take any notice at all. He's not regarding their religious activities and the things that they are doing, and they're not happy with them. The Lord is not happy with them either, because he says that what they are doing is not what he has chosen and not what he's required at all. You know right from the very beginning that has been so with man. It was with Cain and with Abel. The Lord had shown them a type, a sacrifice that pointed to the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. But Cain, he brings of the fruit of the ground a bloodless sacrifice, and he is upset, because God does not accept his sacrifice, but he accepts his brother's. Right from the very beginning. And it's not surprising then that right through the history of the church, there'll be those thinking that they are serving God and wondering why the Lord doesn't accept their sacrifice, when they're not worshipping him, seeking him, in the way that he has told it all, but in their own way and after their own devices, choosing how they will serve the Lord, how they will worship him. And this is where the Lord sets these things right. But you know, we must expect it right to the end of time, and we'll expect it in our assemblies and in the church of God today. If our Lord was reproving those in his day who, under guise of great religion as the Pharisees and the lawyers, that they were very religious, and yet they had not the grace of God, were not serving God aright, nor seeking him aright, but at the same time putting burdens and stumbling blocks and hindrances to the people of God, who they were trying to make believe, this is how you must obtain God's favour, this is how you must worship him, and turning away, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That is what the Lord says. And so when we know that, we need to be very careful. And especially when even just the outward form may appear to be right, you could go back and you could say, well, hasn't the Lord given fasts? Hasn't he asked that there be fasts? Shouldn't we follow on that way? When fasts are taught, and especially in Joel we see it, the whole idea is that there be a laying aside of eating and drinking, of making of time to seek the Lord and to serve the Lord. Not as a show, not as a matter of afflicting our souls, but so that we can have time where we don't have to worry, like Martha, cumbered about with much serving, but we can serve the Lord and give ourselves to prayer and seek Him after the true manner. But we're not doing it just to, as he says here, that they're exacting, they're finding pleasure. Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labours. Ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? In the New Testament we read about a show of will worship. In all humility, it seems to be right, seems to be humble, seems to be nothing at all pleasing to the flesh. And the idea is that because it's like that, it must be acceptable to God. And that's why you find many. There'll be rituals and pilgrimages and all sorts of things that are done and depriving themselves of this or that. But their whole aim is some work that I am doing, some sacrifice, something that I am doing, and God must take notice of it. That's the context here. He must bless me for this. Is that the way to heaven? Is that what God accepts from sinners, from those that are depraved in heart and lip and life? As if they could render anything to God and be acceptable unto God. And yet, man, we were created and placed under the covenant of works that was broken in Adam. But ever since, we lean to works. If it's not fulfilling the law of God and obtaining a righteousness that way, it is then doing a whole lot of religious activities, as if we obtain God's favour that way. But when the Lord sets forth his gospel and his beloved Son, that is free, without money and without price, well, we don't want that. No need of that. We want something. What can I do? What shall I do, says the young man to the Lord, to inherit eternal life? And that is the language. And we need to be really warned against that, against leaning that way. And so our Lord asks, is not this the fast that I have chosen? And then he sets forth the true and the right way. So I want to look first at a warning of seeking God on our own terms. And then secondly, the finished work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, leaving us out of that work. Salvation is of God. And then lastly, the fast that the Lord has chosen, that which is described in the text here. But firstly, there is a warning. A warning seeking to please God on our own terms. And we've already spoken on this, but it is so important that we are mindful of it, because it comes in so many different forms and different ways. But it is something that is added, or something that is conditional unto salvation. The apostles had to deal with this very early on, when it was said with the Gentiles that they were going to make one condition of them being saved, that they had to be circumcised. Except ye be circumcised, ye cannot be saved. Something that the apostles said that they found and their fathers found a burden that was hard to be borne themselves. And should this then be put on the Gentiles? And they determined against it. They would not lay that burden upon them. It was not conditional. And when we read in Galatians, when the teachers came there, teaching that same thing, then the apostle was very clear with them. He says that if you're under the law, which that was under the ceremonial law and under the law of Israel, then you're fallen from grace. It is either grace or it is works. And if you are trying to add something like that, then you are adding that which the Lord has not commanded and not laid upon men at all. It is said with the scribes and the Pharisees that they had some 600 or 38 or so laws, teaching four commandments, the doctrines of men. And the Lord speaks about some of them, such as washing of cups and plates and things like that. Now, we might read those and say, well, we wash our plates before we have a meal and we wash those things. But we don't do it in a religious sense. We do it as a hygiene thing. But they're making it a religious rite and something that their salvation depended upon it. If they didn't do that, then there'd be some curse of God upon them and they could expect the Lord's displeasure. And they added many, many things like this. And our Lord was very clear, they are laying upon men burdens grievous to be borne. And so there were those on one hand that were burdened with those things that were thinking that that was the way of salvation. Dead in trespasses and sins, the same as the Apostle Paul was, Saul of Tarsus, Pharisee of the Pharisees, blindly going on, nice lot of religion, nice lot of works, and that was all substituting for the real work of God and blotting out the true way. But then there were those that they were teaching, those that were really seeking and desirous for their own souls, even when the Lord Jesus Christ was there and they were wanting to hear him and follow him, all the time they've got those that were putting stumbling blocks and hindrances in the way. So you find not only a wrong religion and things taking the place of what the Lord has commanded and how the Lord has set forth his salvation, but we have that which is a hindrance. Our Lord says, ye enter not in yourselves. And they that would enter in, ye resist them. Ye turn them aside and turn them out of the way. Now what a warning that it is. With these context here, with these fasts, it was something to be seen of men, something of which their pleasure, their religion, it was gained from people taking notice of it. Really, we might say how much of our religion is like that. And some of it is things that are good and right. Our coming into the house of God, our attending the prayer meeting, attending the midweek service, those things that are right and that are good. But if that is our religion, that is all of our religion, and it may be someone not able to get out, or perhaps they're not well, and you look down upon them, or you put burdens upon them in that way. Now, sometimes we can have a whole set of things that we think if someone has got grace, they'll do this, 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 this. And if they don't, then it's like the word says, they're pointing the finger. Huh? See what they're doing? What they're saying? As if that is marking out a religion that is seen of God. And it covers many, many things. How much true religion have we had when no eye sees us? When we're in the closet, when there's only God that sees us. When we're not seeking for any approval, anything from man, but we're just before the Lord. To have his full attention, and he has our full attention. Time with the Lord alone. How much of that time do we have? That is very searching. I find it very searching myself. One of the Lord's dear servants said to me, when going into the ministry, he said, you'll have to fight for every bit of meditation time you can get. That applies for all of the people of God. To fight, as it were, for those times that they can come apart and rest a while and come before the Lord, out of the eye of man, and before the Lord. But dear friends, do be wary of an imitation religion, of an outward form. And if you are a seeker, and yet you feel burdened because of pressures that are being put upon you, mostly not by church members, be those that count themselves religious that are not church members. And they'll be hindering others from entering in and from seeking the Lord. Be wary of that. Don't ever think that our day is going to be different than what it was in Isaiah's day. Or if we were to go to Zechariah's day, and when we think Isaiah, 150 years to the captivity, and then Zechariah, also at the end of the captivity, and you find what is said there, Zechariah 7, the word of the Lord coming to him in verse 4, speak unto all the people of the land, to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? When ye did eat, when ye did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? And you have a picture for 70 years in that captivity, a religion that was not at all pleasing to God, nor what he had ordered at all. And you find this one. The Lord has to say to his ancient people. And so it is something that is to be warned about. If it was with Abel, Cain, and if it was with Israel of old, when our Lord was on the earth, and when the apostles were trying to teach and to set forth salvation through Christ alone, and those bringing back to the law and the ceremonial law, it's still going to be today. So do beware of that. Beware of walking that path yourself. Don't lay those burdens on another. And if another is laying those burdens on you, then have regard to the word of the Lord and what the Lord says, not upon what man will say and lay on you. The word of the Lord is our guide, not man. Now I want to look then secondly at the finished work of our Lord. Paul says in Ephesians, by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The grace, the free unmerited favour of God, and the channel and way of it coming is through faith, and that is not even of ourselves. God gives that as a gift. All men have not faith, And our Lord is the author and finisher of that faith. And the Church of God, the commission is to go forth and to preach the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What He has done, His finished work of redemption. Paul says, if thou believest with thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. Men reject the gospel because it is so simple. And there are those that say, well, what about those that believe in their free will? Just they can do it themselves. Surely it must be something, must be added, must be more, need to be fenced and be more complicated than believe only. And yet that was the message and is the message to sinners. And if any need to be encouraged to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is those who feel themselves, like we've been singing, as sinners. Hymn writer says, sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. And the contrast of the publican in the temple, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But in our work, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has done that which enables Him to be merciful to a sinner. A person that does not deserve anything at the hand of God. A person that has sinned against heaven and against earth, like the prodigal son, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. The work of our Lord paid the debt, appeased the wrath of God. The sins laid upon Him, He assures thee that when we have nothing to pay, then He frankly forgives them all. I love that illustration of a surety. Because all the time a person is saying, I have still got something. I have still some good works. I have still something to recommend to God. That surety cannot act at all. It needs to be that there is nothing. We sing it so often, don't we? Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I sing, cling. And yet, how often do we really realize what we're singing? That which the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary could only be accomplished there and had been pointed to for those 4,000 years before. That one sin-atoning sacrifice, the Passover blood, the blood that Abel's sacrifice had but Cain's did not, a blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel, but atones for all sin. The assurance of it is the empty tomb. It raised Him from the dead. The other thing that is to be really remembered by the Church of God, and that's why the Lord has chosen the ordinances of the house of God. Because baptism is buried with Him by baptism into death and risen again in newness of life. Dead to self, dead to our own works, but alive unto God. And then the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. How did the Lord see fit that the church needed to be reminded again and again and again that it is the precious blood of Christ alone that atones for sin and is our title to heaven? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Is the church liable to forget it? Are the ministers liable to forget it? Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Many things were happening in that Corinthian church. Could easily have got sidetracked from that. But he saw the vital need of it. Yes, he did reprove them. Some were going after Paul, some Apollos, some Cephas, some after Christ. All after a title, after a name. He said, who are these? And he points straight to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The true faith of God is full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Is believing in what he has done and finished and the scripture fulfilled in Christ and are trusting in him alone. It is a finished work. And yet the work of grace goes on. The intercession of heaven, of the Lord in heaven goes on. And the Spirit's work goes on. But wherever the Spirit is active, then Christ will be precious and sinners will be drawn to him and they'll be brought to trust in him. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That is the evidence of the Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will show you the truth about yourself. About the Lord Jesus. He is the author of the Word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the true interpreter of it. The revealer of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people. In the Revelation we have seven churches, local churches, represented, and the Lord speaking to them each, the Spirit speaking. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Not only is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ central and to be uppermost, but the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of the word as well. How often that is let go in the present day. And yet God has said that he has ordained that man by wisdom cannot ever find out God. But he has pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. A sinner speaking the word of God to other sinners. And God will own and bless that. Why? Paul says, not because of any eloquence with me, but because the Lord has chosen to do it that way, that no flesh might glory in his presence. If you and I are blessed, it won't be through all rituals and works and deeds of our own, but the Lord will bless us through his word. And that word will be precious. And he will be seen through that word. And that will come right where we are. It may be through the preaching, direct, as this evening. It may be through a read sermon. It might not even be read in the house of God. One sermon that was so blessed to me was in the bed set of a dear sister in faith, now in glory in Australia. And she sat on the bed and read to me from Kershaw's Book of Sermons. This text was, but we see Jesus. And she came to the second point, the person seen. And the Lord so blessed that to me. Never forget that. It was in that bed set. Actually, I gave my testimony to the church later on. That was before I was called, or while I was seeking. And we know what it is to be blessed under the Word of God, the preached Word of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ will be precious through that way. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Well, I want to then look thirdly at the fast the Lord has chosen. In our text, there's really two parts divided in the verses. In verse 6, I view it more as in a spiritual way. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Now we know in a literal sense this was so. In Jeremiah's day, before the cities were broken up, the masters who had servants were bidden to release them and let them go. They did for a while, then they brought them back under bondage. In Nehemiah's day, after the 70 years, the same thing. They were putting their own brethren under usury. They laid them heavy burdens. They were selling their lands to pay for the church and their tithing and all the rest of it. And there was a literal effect of that bondage, and the same in Christ's day. But we see that in a spiritual way. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. We think of David, King David, fallen in sin with murder and adultery. And the Lord sent Nathan and brought a parable. And through that parable, he was brought to see his sin. With Nebuchadnezzar, when he had a dream and he didn't know what that dream was, he said to his wise men, "You tell me the dream, and I will know that you can tell me the interpretation thereof." You apply that in a spiritual way. It is the same God that shows a man his sin and convinces a person of his sin as shows the remedy for sin. It needed the same God, Daniel's God, to show the dream and the interpretation. We are all just as blind as what David was to his sin, going on in it, continuing in it, until the Lord comes and looses those bands of wickedness, delivers from the snare, sets free from it, brings to godly sorrow. But you know, as soon as David was convinced, he says, "I have sinned." And immediately Nathan says, "The Lord hath also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." Not, "I'll go back and see what the Lord will say." The very conviction of sin that God sent Nathan, it showed the Lord's goodwill to David. He was not going to destroy him. He could have destroyed him out of hand. He didn't. He showed him his sin. He brought him to confess it, and immediately it was forgiven. Same way as in we have in 1 John 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then what do we have in Psalm 51? We have Psalm 51 is David's penitence, his godly sorrow. One of the things he says, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not." And the sacrifices of God, he says, are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. There is a right sacrifice. You say, David's day, weren't they offering sacrifices? Weren't they ordained? Those sacrifices, they pointed to Christ. And yet there were so many thousands of those Israelites, all they took delight in was actual sacrifice. They looked no further than the ritual. And today, and may we not be amongst them, that all we look, we don't look past the gathering together or past the ministry of the hymns, and we never see Christ. We never desire to hear him or to see him or to follow him or to have any effect on our lives. The deep that coucheth beneath, those that heard Christ's parables, so many of them never thought there was anything underneath, never asked for a spiritual teaching, never wanted a personal application at all. But David points those sacrifices that come from a broken heart, a sinner that needs salvation, a sinner that prizes what Christ has done. And David, he looked to Christ. He's one of those that lived and died by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially in that very instance, there was the child that Bathsheba was to have born. And the Lord said he'd smite that child and it would die. And it did die. That child did not put away David's sin. But I believe David looked to his greater son, that one day his son would die for his sin. And put away his sin. Not that baby. He shall not come to me. I shall go to him. That's what he said concerning him. But the Lord Jesus Christ. If Abraham saw Christ day, when he saw Isaac taken off the altar and the ram put in his place, David saw Christ day as well. And that breaks the heart. When faith views the Lord Jesus Christ, it brings a broken and a contrite heart. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him and be in bitterness for him. And that is pleasing to God. When he sees those for whom he has suffered, bled and died, and they believe, and they feel, and they mourn, and they weep, and they see that it is their sins that nailed him to the accursed tree. And that is acceptable unto God. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which have need or see no need, feel no need of repentance. The fast that the Lord has chosen, loose the bands of wickedness. Do you feel what it is to have bands of wickedness? To feel your wicked heart is like a band. You can't loose that. The Lord only can loose wickedness from us. He can only break our snares. The mad Gadarene. Many had tried. They couldn't tame him. They couldn't break his fetters. They couldn't bring him to be in his right mind. But the Lord Jesus could. And that is the gospel. That is what the Lord will have set forth. Loose the bands of wickedness. What? On the wicked? Those that are not the Lord's people, have they got bands of wickedness? Is that what the Lord's talking about? It's God's dear people. Like Saul of Tarsus, hailing men and women to prison. We are wicked. And that wickedness is in us. And we need the Lord that he break those bands from off us. Undo the heavy burdens. That's why we read that beautiful word. Short verses, but how beautiful they are. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The gospel is to be good news to sinners that feel the strength and power of sin in them and need to be loosed and set free from it. It is not to find out something that is to be done and complicated. Yeah, it doesn't lead to sin that grace might abound. Those that the Lord looses from wickedness, they groan under that. They're burdened under that. They want to be set free from that. You think of the one at the pool, 38 years, and every time he went down, some got in before. The Lord only needed to speak one word, and he was healed. Speak the word only, thy servant shall be healed. Naaman, he thought some great things had to be done, but just to go down and dip seven times, he was offended at the simplicity of it. But he was fully healed when he obeyed and walked in that way. The fast that I have chosen, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. Do these words describe what you feel in your soul? Bands of wickedness, heavy burdens, oppressed, pressed by sin, by Satan, by the world, by men, religious men, and that ye break every yoke, yoke with sin, yoke to this, joined to this. The Lord says, take my yoke upon you. Come ye out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The fast that the Lord has chosen, in a spiritual way, it is good news for sinners. Salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ that does all of these things. The crown is placed upon the Lord's head alone. What could Jonah have done in the whale's belly? He had no power, cast out from men, a captive. He said, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, vomited him out on the dry land. What could Peter have done? In prison, asleep, bound with chains, guarded by soldiers, and the doors locked. The Lord brought him out. And that's what you and I need. The Lord to bring us out. To bring us out of every captivity. Deliver us from sin and Satan and all his chains. And give us a sweet gospel liberty. But the second part is a very practical part. And yet you know it's a vital thing with Christianity. It's one thing we could lean against sometimes. You look at some churches and say, well, the whole thing they do is all charity. That's all they're there for. They just do charity. So we veer the other way and we say, we're very spiritual people, but don't worry about any charity works at all. We won't worry about the poor and the needy or those of our neighbours at all. But our Lord told the parable of the Good Samaritan. It was a reason, who is my neighbour? And the neighbour was the one that came right where the wounded one was and did them good and lifted them out. Now, I know there's a spiritual application, but the first application was a very practical one. How many have been brought to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear the gospel and to be blessed because those of the Lord's people have shown mercy and compassion upon them in a very practical way. And we have this: is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? A very practical way. On the last point there, how easy it is to say, stand by thyself and come not nigh unto me, for I am holier than thou. As if we had separate from our own flesh. Have we got unconverted members of our extended families? Don't shun them, dear friends. Yeah, don't walk in their sin and walk in their evil ways. But if they are in need, then have compassion on them and show what the grace of God will do. The Lord had the multitudes that followed him, and again we read he had compassion on the multitudes. And he used the miracles to give them food and to give them bread and to heal their sick and to raise their dead. All of these things were done. And many a time it was used to bring them from those natural things to hear him, to open their ears to the gospel. And throughout history, it has so often been. The Lord's people have been the ones that have made the orphanages and helped the poor and the needy. And it still goes on. Some of the brethren that we seek to support in Sri Lanka have a great ministry of helping the poor and the needy and those distressed in that area. And it's something that we shouldn't just turn a back on. But again, there's a token here. A token here. Where the Lord has touched our hearts. You know, there may be some that just do the outward works and that is their religion. That's what they hope God will see and take them to heaven. But if we have our full trust in the Lord, that will open our hearts. Remember the early church? They even sold their houses, their lands, those that had much. Why? To give to the poor, those that had need. Their realization of the gospel and the blessing of eternal things loosed their hands for natural things. And if the Lord has done that, you might be tried, Lord, hast thou wrought in my heart? Have I the grace of God in my heart? But as the Lord touched your heart, maybe recently you thought, I'll help that one. I'll help one of the Lord's dear people. They're in need, and you think and you do these things for them. The Lord sees those things. And those are a token, the reality of the grace of God in the heart. And it's lovely to see when that happens. In the account of Ruth, there were those that noticed what Ruth was doing to Naomi. She was going out and gleaning. She was giving to him, to her. She loved her. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And that love, while we think of the word how it's set forth in Corinthians, is charity, practical love. It evidences itself. How in the New Testament church we read of the giving to the saints at Jerusalem by the Gentile church because they heard that they were poor and that they were in need. It is a very real part. And so again, we have the two sides here of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tends to the soul and tends to the body. He has compassion on both. And it shows the reality of the work of God within and makes us more like the Lord and to imitate him. How different than the picture of the scribes and the Pharisees or those in this day here that had lots of religious rites, duties and things to be done, a religious people. But touching the needs of the soul of a poor sinner? No. Touching those that are in need for food or finance or whatever it is? No. But with our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Saviour of all men, especially of them that believe. He opens his hands, he satisfies the desire of every living thing. He gives his rain upon the just and unjust, him that serveth him and him that serveth him not. When the Lord blesses our souls, then something of his Spirit will be on our spirit too. And may that be a sweet token, perhaps for some of you here, that the Lord has given you his Spirit, has given you a love, a practical love, to the people of God. You think of Lydia. Very soon she took of Paul and Silas into her house. You think of the jailer. He took them, he washed their wounds, he helped them. Immediately you find this effect when the grace of God has touched the hearts of his people. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? There's a beautiful promise that follows on. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, thine health shall spring forth speedily, thy righteousness shall go before thee. You know, I think it was Mr. Popham that said the Lord laid on him in the ministry, and it was what he always had in mind when he preached, and that was verse 10. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And what follows? And you know, his ministry was greatly blessed. But that verse, it shows something of what the gospel ministry is. It is not laying great burdens on men. A sinner that knows their sin has many burdens already. The gospel is where the minister draws out his soul as knowing the preciousness and blessedness of Christ to those that are in bondage and afflicted and tried and troubled. I do really want to convey just this evening the true nature of the gospel is to let free. Set free is to bring the finished work of Christ, is not to lay burdens on men, but it is to show forth that which a poor, hell-deserving sinner would rejoice to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for him and suffered for him and bled for him. And may that message be heard and received tonight. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Graham Cottingham will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting for the nation on Monday evening. Mr. Fred Ince will preach on Tuesday evening. Our closing hymn is 551. Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend, loves his people to the end. And that they may safe abide, he's the rock in which they hide. Hymn 551. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.